Good morning, everyone. How are you? It's good to be here again. Happy New Year. I haven't seen you this year yet. How exciting. That picture of the building. So exciting to see what God's doing in our midst. Tam said I could start even though some of the children are coming back. So, I mean, the adults can... Sorry. Not a great start, really. Maybe we can start with prayer. That's a good place to start always, right? So let me pray as we kick off this today. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for your love. I just want to thank you for this community. I just want to honour you, and I'm so grateful for the truth of who you are and the hope that we have in you. I just want to thank you for the diversity in this room and what it is that you're doing in and through all of us individually and collectively. And Lord, I just commit this word to you this morning as well. In the midst of everything that I have to share, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be the one that would be leading the way. I pray this morning just from Psalm 139, Lord, you know our thoughts. You know when we sit, we know when we stand. You know our thoughts from afar. You know the hairs on our head. You know what we are concerned about. And I'm so grateful that you are a God who knows our every need. And Lord, I just, humbly come before you this morning and ask, Father, in the midst of all that I share, that you would be the one that would encourage and build up and display love through words, through actions, and that we would be mindful of how you are moving in and through our lives this morning. And so I just commit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brooke asked me to start this series that you're doing, which is Beloved. And we're just looking this morning at a really simple passage of scripture that I'm sure most of you will be aware of from Ephesians. I personally love the book of Ephesians. It's a book for me that has given me an incredible amount of hope in the midst of so many different seasons in my life. So I'm super grateful just to be sharing a few thoughts with you this morning, just to unpack a few thoughts and ideas around what it means to be the gift of being chosen, what it means to be chosen. And so the scripture I'm reading from is from Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. And it says this. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. For those of you who have got your scripture in front of you, I just want you to take a moment and I want you just to read that scripture, reflect on that scripture yourself. As I read it very slowly again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. As you read that, what is something in that scripture that stands out to you this morning? That speaks to you this morning? Because there's so much in this scripture the promise of spiritual blessing, the hope and the knowledge that he chose us before the foundation of the world. It's an interesting scripture, but it's also, for me, as I've contemplated on this for many, many years, it's also a challenging scripture. And I think the challenging part is not the truth of what this scripture is saying, in the sense that we are chosen, that we have spiritual blessing, that the Lord thought of us before the foundation of the world. I think the challenge for me with this scripture is it's the core of our identity, right? It's the core of who we are. It's the core of our very existence. And I think for me, in my journey, it has been living in the truth and the knowledge that I am chosen, and trying to determine what does that mean. And so for me, being chosen is not about being better than others. It's about a transformational process. It's about being transformed by God's love so that we can reflect his love to the world. Seeing ourselves as we truly are is not necessarily an easy task, in my opinion. And I think one of the greatest things that God gives us is an accurate understanding of who we are in him. Romans 12:3 says this, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you." When God says, "I have chosen you," he's calling us to see ourselves as we truly are, fully known, fully loved, and created for a purpose. But sometimes that's not necessarily the easiest task. A large part of what I've done through mentoring or coaching or discipling or pastoring, whatever it is that you want to call it, often, and I love this scripture because of that, I'm encouraging most people to have an accurate view of themselves because they think lowly of who they've been called and created to be. It's not necessarily the challenge, I think, for most people to think more highly. In my experience, it's been encouraging and championing and reminding people of who they are in Christ. And to do that, we need to understand that the love of God, the chosenness in God, is not dependent on whether you get it right every day. God is big enough to handle our pilgrimage, our life journey, our challenges, our mistakes, our diversity. He's big enough to handle the complexity within our lives, within the church, within all of that, that God is bigger. God can do immeasurably more than anything we could ever ask, dream, or imagine according to his plan within us. That's the hope that we have in Ephesians 3. That we are given this incredible opportunity, that we are chosen, that we are given this opportunity to see ourselves as God sees us. And when we do that, we offer that love to other people as well, that we see ourselves and other people through the lens of being chosen. We see ourselves and others through the lens of grace when we all make mistakes. I love what Henry Nguyen says when he talks about identity. We are not what we do, we are not what we have, and we are not what others think of us. We are God's children. We are chosen. We are set apart for His plans and His purposes. And that's a journey. And I think the challenge, I think, in my experience, at least when I was first kind of within, it's been an interesting journey pastoring a church for so many years, and how God has helped me to understand the idea of being chosen. And I think that there's been times in my pilgrimage, in my journey, where in a sense, I think that my chosenness has almost led to this superiority, to this place of being judgmental, to this place of wanting so desperately to play the role of God. And so I'm convinced that chosenness isn't about our superiority, it's about our humility. It's our capacity to position ourselves, to posture ourselves in humility, that we would be able to understand and fully grasp the immensity of God's love for each one of us. And I think part of it for me in the church was around this idea of just within our sense of being chosen is a sense of entitlement, right? And I remember a few years ago, at least this is how it played out for me. I was going through a situation with the church. There was a lot of changes. We were growing pretty quickly. We were kind of trying stuff that was really new. We were kind of deconstructing some stuff that I'd grown up with. And I was in Egypt at the time, and I had the opportunity to meet this amazing man called Bishop Thomas. Bishop Thomas was from a very orthodox, traditional church. He, if you know a lot about the Orthodox Church, they wear the full robe, the bishops and the monks, and they wear a bonnet. And for me, Bishop Thomas was a little bit like, he was about this tall. He was the Bishop of Egypt at the time. And I remember at the time feeling a little bit like self-righteous and a bit snug about what we were doing in our church and kind of trying to get my head around, you know, the structure of the church and where the church should be and how the church should be positioned. And I went in to meet with him, and in my judgmental opinion, my chosen opinion, I started to have a think around, that's ridiculous, he's wearing black, he's wearing a bonnet, why did I do that, the church, meh, 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 meh. And I sat under his teaching and nearly wept. It was like the Holy Spirit directed all the teaching to my misguided understanding of the power of God's love to work in and through us individually, creatively, and that there's things within my chosen calling I just don't know. So this man had his bonnet. The bonnet is a sign of humility in the Orthodox Church. They wear the bonnet, and he had his black garb on. And he sat down, it was almost like he was, you know, one of those kind of sermons where they're like, I think they're talking right directly to me, but it was the Holy Spirit. And he just said, I think some of you might be very judgmental of our tradition. And I'm kind of, there wasn't many of us, there was like five of us, so you can't hide anywhere. So I'm at the foot of his teaching. And he said to me, or he said to us, directly to me, but he said it to us, I wear this bonnet to remind myself that I am not God. I wear this bonnet as a sign of humility. I wear this bonnet as a sacrifice to the calling and being chosen by God to serve him every day. And then he said to me, the work that we do among the drug addicts, the poor, the marginalized, and the men within our community motivates me every day to walk in the calling and being chosen by God to serve others. And then he said, the very fact that I wear this bonnet and this robe is a signal of peace for those who don't live with it. And I'm probably getting emotional because I still, to this day, feel convicted by how easy it is for each of us to be so judgmental, to be right, to fight for rightness, to fight for our rights, to fight for our chosenness, to fight for what we determine is the right thing to do. And I'm here to say to you today, be careful. Our chosenness is a gift from God, and we are all on a different part of the journey. And you don't know what I've walked through, and I don't know what you've walked through. Be gracious and kind. Be loving. Allow the transformation of God in our lives, our chosenness, the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places transform us, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. In love. That's got to be the outcome of our chosenness, right? So for me, being chosen is not a one-time realization. It's an ongoing discovery. And God's love has enabled and healed us to grow in the faithfulness of who he's called and created me to be. I love the Message version when it says in Ephesians 1:11-12, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purposes he's working out in everything and everyone. God's love enables us and it heals us as we grow in faithfulness to be all that he called and created us to be. That's what being chosen is about. I love what Josh said before about that line in that song about the pilgrimage, our chosenness, our truth, our understanding of who we are in God is for his plans and his purposes. So finally, being chosen is not about status. If we truly walk in the identity of God's chosen people, we should be easier to love, not harder. Because we know that that love is full of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Our chosenness should be transformative in that our actions and our behaviours are moving more and more in the fruits of the Spirit. Of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. So what does it look like to live as God's chosen people? It looks like us truly seeing ourselves the way that God sees us, letting go of those false identities and receiving the truth of who we are in Christ. It's growing in our understanding and allowing the Holy Spirit to shape us on our journey. And it's learning to love like Jesus, to let our identity lead us into humility and not superiority. It's a beautiful scripture, but in my experience, it's also a tough one. I don't know about you, but often, there's so much, I think, that starts to niggle away at our identity, the core of who we are. And I think this is a beautiful gift, a blessing to be chosen by God. And what an incredible testimony and story we can share with others as we allow the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. We offer that same invitation to those around us. And for me, part of that transformation was, and why it's been so important, and why I'm still practicing and I don't get it right, is surrendering control to the God of the universe. The control of wanting to control the outcomes of my future, wanting to control. God is at work. I'm chosen. I'm set aside for His plans and His purposes that are unique for me. So let's love one another, encourage one another, as Scripture says, and build one another up. Because in my opinion, the world needs a message or the truth of this scripture that the Lord loves them and that their identity can be secure in the God who created them. So let me pray. God, I just want to thank you so much for your love and just your patience and your grace. And Lord, I thank you for the diversity of this, so many different experiences and people and backgrounds and in this room. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to be unified around our calling of being chosen by the God of the universe, the God, the Creator God, that in that we would fulfill your plans, that we would fulfill your purpose, that you would teach us how to love you and others in a way, Lord God, that is described in your scripture, that you would teach us to be more loving and patient and kind. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk in the fullness of our chosenness, that we would also surrender to you and walk in humility and walk in confidence, Lord, that he who began a good work will complete it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Jen. Ooh. This is a massive thing. Like, I just don't want us to move on, that you are chosen. I grew up in an environment where I played a lot of sport, and you go to tryouts or you go to the thing, and then what would happen is I, in my eliteness, thought I would always get picked for the first team. A grade, Brooke. Had high opinions of myself, don't laugh at me. You know how devastating it is when you work out that you're chosen for C grade? You realise, you know the great thing about when God chooses us, there's just one family. There's no grading. Everyone's in the same team. Everyone gets chosen based on, I love that scripture where it says that he chooses us without finding fault. Everything about going to the thing is they're looking about what's wrong with you, not what's right with you. That's how they disqualify you from certain grades. And we don't get we often disqualify ourselves from the race because of our insecurities and all that sort of stuff. And God says, I choose you. Not B grade, not C grade, not D grade. I choose you to be part of my family. And we're equal in that. So you don't look at the person next to you and go, oh, you're B grade Christian and I'm A grade Christian. You're a B grade religion and I'm A grade religion, you know. You need to be very careful as Jen has come with humility and believe that we're all part of the same family and God's chosen us to be there, not because we chose. We didn't choose him, he chose us. Before we chose him, he chose us, the Bible says. And we're all part of his family. So you deserve to be here. You deserve to be in his family, not because of anything you've done, but because of what he's done. And he chose us. You're not B grade, you're not C grade, you are A grade Christian. You're a believer, you're part of the family of God. And let's be encouraged by that. Let's not disqualify and think we're less than, that we deserve something less. No, he chooses us and he puts us in the place where we deserve. So it's good. We should feel confident in who God's made us to be and the fact that he's chose us. Yeah. Amen.